Prosecutors vow to fight order for new trial, read the headline in the Ada Evening News on September 27, 1995. On one side of it was a high school photo of Ron Williamson. On the other was one of Bill Peterson. The report began, "An angry Bill Peterson said that he would be more than happy to make an appearance before the United States Supreme Court, if necessary, in order to overturn a recent federal judge's ruling which has ordered a new trial for convicted Pontotoc County murderer Ronald Keith Williamson. Fortunately, at least for Peterson, he would not get the chance to go to Washington and argue the case." He went on to say that he had been assured by the state's attorney general that he, himself, would personally handle the immediate appeal to the Tenth Circuit in Denver. He was quoted as saying, "I'm flabbergasted, bumfuzzled, angry, confused, and a lot of other things. To have had this case go through so many appeals and so much scrutiny without ever having anyone question the conviction, and then for this opinion to come down, it simply doesn't make any sense." He neglected to say, and the reporter neglected to point out, that all death penalty convictions go the habeas corpus route and end up in federal court, where sooner or later an opinion of some sort is delivered. But Peterson was on a roll. He continued, "This case has been considered by the U.S. Supreme Court on two occasions, and on both occasions the court reaffirmed the convictions and denied the requests for rehearings." Not exactly. The U.S. Supreme Court never considered the merits of Ron's case. In fact, by denying certiorari, the court refused to hear the case and sent it back to Oklahoma. This was standard practice. Peterson saved his tallest tale for the end. Judge C. had cited, in a footnote to his opinion, Robert Mayer's book, The Dreams of Ada, and made a reference to the number of convictions based on dream confessions coming out of the same courtroom. Peterson was upset that the book had been mentioned in a court ruling and said, evidently with a straight face, "It is simply not true that any of these three men, Williamson, Fontenot, or Ward, were convicted based on dream confessions." The state of Oklahoma appealed Judge C's ruling to the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver. Though Ron was pleased with the turn of events and the prospect of a new trial, he was still in prison, surviving day by day as the process dragged on. He was not, however, fighting alone. Kim Marks, his investigator, Janet Chesley, his lawyer, and Dr. Foster were relentless in their efforts to obtain proper treatment. For almost 4 years, the prison had refused to admit Ron to its special care unit, where better medications and better conditions were available. The SCU was within view of H unit, an easy walk, but officially off-limits to death row inmates. Kim Marks reported this description of her client. "I was so frightened, not of him, but for him. I insisted that we try and get somebody higher up in the penal system to get some help, because his hair had grown out to his shoulders. He had yellow streaks in them where he'd been pulling because you could see the nicotine stains completely down his fingers and on his hands, not just on the tips. His teeth were literally rotting out of his mouth. I think he had been twisting them. His skin was gray because he had obviously not bathed in weeks. He was skin and bones. His shirt looked like it hadn't been washed, much less hung up or ironed, in months. And he was pacing. He could barely talk, and every time he did talk, spit would fly from his mouth. He was not making any sense whatsoever, and I was really afraid we were going to lose him, that he would die in prison from physical health problems related to his mental health problems.